Hello, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Tech Exec Podcast. I'm your host, Aviv Ben-Yosef, Tech Exec Consultant, and today our subject is debugging processes. I know that your tech people are, hopefully, great at debugging issues. Most of the tech execs I work with actually have really solid debugging abilities. You can hear someone in the hall discussing an issue, and you immediately have a hunch. You have a feeling that it's likely that widget that no one has touched since they've left the company. Maybe they should look at that. This ability to debug and pinpoint issues is amazing. It's very nice to be the hero and find issues every now and then, but that's not what you're here to do, is it? What you need to do is apply this into your actual work and responsibilities, and that's by applying that to the actual processes in your company. Some examples. I've seen companies that have terrible, terrible hiring pipelines, but they don't know what's the issue. They come over and say, we're spending so much time into interviews. Is that really what we should be doing? And when I hear that, what I have to say is, where's the data? Just as when I'm working with code, I'm going to add those debugging prints to make sure to see that the code reaches a certain point. I want to see what happens here. If you don't have any data, how can you work? For example, are you measuring the yes-no conversion rates of each and every interview? I've seen people who never reject anyone. And you know what that means? It means that the interview is useless. Do you have too much time between steps? Someone isn't making sure that the interview process is going along as fast as it should. If that's what you're doing, you're going to be missing very good people who already have a bunch of good offers and don't want to wait. And of course, are you measuring people in their job a quarter later after joining the company? Because you may be having too many false positives. Your recruiters are saying, woohoo, we're getting all of the people we said we would on time, but they might have lowered the standards, or maybe you have flaws in the interviewing processes so that you're hiring the wrong people. And so 3 months later, they're getting bad performance reviews, they're being fired or quitting. Likewise, for your onboarding process, have you set goals for what's a good onboarding process in your company? For example, how do you measure whether a new hire is as effective as they should be and by when? Are you constantly improving the onboarding because your organization is growing and changing and so the onboarding docs are usually obsolete within 2 months? Are you making sure to improve it, or is it like reading an old book and knowing that it has nothing to do with what you're seeing in practice in the halls? Are you getting the fresh perspectives out of the new hires, or is your onboarding simply a boot camp so that they lose whatever creativity and insights they have from their past experience and they have to become part of the crew, part of the ship? I'm saying you want to make sure that you get all the benefits of having fresh blood, of having another set of eyes inside the team. Are you making sure that your onboarding process has that? Sprint planning, of course, is another way to waste so much time because we do not know how such a process should work and no one actively tweaks it once it has been set into motion 4 years ago and has been slowly degrading in its effectiveness. Do you have too much ritual over substance? Are you getting value out of having your entire team spend a day every couple of weeks? How much of your sprint goals are hit? Because if you're hitting 100% every single time, it means that you're either breaking down the tasks way too much to have no risk at all, and you might have been getting more out of your team by having less time in the planning, or it might mean that people are adding so many buffers to make sure they are always hitting their goals. And the other side of the coin, of course, is that if you're constantly only getting about 30% done, it means that your sprint planning is probably useless. Are you measuring those? Imagine that you're in the debugger here, moving from step to step in order to understand where things are going wrong. The same applies to how you're creating your roadmaps, how you're managing a technical change across your entire organization. It even applies, of course, to quality issues. Are you having more bugs lately? Are you taking more time to resolve new issues? Why is that? Don't just say kudos once someone has fixed a critical error. Make sure that you understand why that error has happened and whether you're seeing more of these than you should lately. All of these are processes, big and small, in your organization, and you need to make sure that you know how to debug these in order to keep on improving them. If you do not know how to dive in and break these down into single components that you can try and measure, you're going to always be in the dark. My toolset when working with tech execs always begins with identifying the key processes in your organization right now that should probably be improved on and assessing their current state. You start with measuring things. You need to define metrics. I'm not even saying that you want to get into goals just yet. You need to start with having a measure. Like Andy Grove says, any metric is better than no metric. And let's start with having something so you can start seeing the trends. Start seeing the leading indicators. For example, if we're talking about the hiring from before, are you measuring how many people are entering the pipeline versus going out of it? Are you measuring how many people get rejected at each and every step? You should start by measuring things right now. Should you keep on measuring them forever? For some of these processes, you should, and for some, it only makes sense to gather metrics and look into it only once in a while. It all depends on how volatile that process is and, of course, how important it is to your organization. Once you measure things, look into your goals and into your KPIs. For example, in my hiring process, how many people do I expect as the last interview, as the VP of engineering, how many people do I expect to see in a month and how many of those should I hire? I always say, for example, that as the busiest person in engineering, you should not be at the start of the funnel for ICs because you should see them once pretty much everyone has said, yes, we want them in. So set that as a goal and make sure that the entire process works so that you only get the final say. When you're talking about your roadmaps, you need to define stuff like, how long do I expect this roadmap to be relevant for? If I'm defining a roadmap for the next 18 months, are we making sure that it's being updated so that we can keep on using it 2 months later, 3 months later? Are you looking into quality issues in order to see whether you have more issues with a specific microservice or whenever a specific team does something right before the weekends? These are all things that you can read more about in the Great Accelerate book. But the bottom line is you need to measure things in order to understand your engineering velocity. Same goes for postmortems, for example. You have a postmortem process, but are you making sure to get the most out of it? For example, how many of the postmortems result with action items? How many of those action items actually get acted upon? Make sure to have goals. For example, we do not accept a postmortem that does not have at least two action items, one for the ICs and one for management, for example. In the next step, after you've decided how to measure things and you know what your goals are for the different metrics, make sure to retrospect and review the processes at a regular interval or at least whenever things come up. For example, you should be reviewing your hiring process every quarter to make sure that it's still on track, especially as the actual people doing the interviews seem to change every few months as the teams grow and people move between positions. So make sure that things are still on track. And likewise, I always say that you need to have a meta review for how you've decided on your tasks. A sprint usually has a planning phase as well as a retrospective phase to see how things went on in that specific sprint. But are you having a meta review to ensure that later on, say a month later, you review the tasks that you got done and say, well, that was a huge waste of time and that thing was really valuable. are you reviewing it in order to make sure that you only let in things that are worthwhile and learning from your past mistakes? It's not enough to simply learn, "All right, we estimated this as being way too easy." You should also make sure that once you've made the decision to invest in something, you're seeing the ROI later on. Same goes, of course, for big technical changes that you expect to improve quality, increase engineering velocity. Make sure to retrospect those later. Have you just spent 2 years moving to Kubernetes, hoping to get your deploys so much faster, only to see that to recoup the time you invested into the move, you will have to deploy 10,000 times in the next year? And another thing that I think is greatly valuable is to make sure that you are not simply breathing your own exhaust. You have to know what other places are doing. Of course, every company is unique. Every company has its own constraints and needs and trade-offs. But you need to know how things are working in other similar companies, similar in size, similar in industry, similar in experience and age, in order for you to understand whether you have major issues or whether some things are simply hard for everyone. For these, I recommend, of course, you can hunt Medium and you can go on different Slacks. You should be asking your friends, you should be going to meetups, and my clients know that always, every time I hear about something, I tell them, you know what, I think I know a couple of clients who already did this, let me see how things are working there and come back to you. And you should be making sure to leverage everything you can, because if you already know someone who has a really good hiring process, ask them. Say, how many CVs should I expect to go over to get one hire in the office? For a DevOps position and for a data science position. You'd be amazed how similar these numbers tend to be for companies of similar size or similar geography. And lastly, make sure that as with every debugging process, you document and learn from it. Once you've found a bug in your process, it's not just a matter of fixing that specific bug. You need to write the test that makes sure this does not repeat. So if you had an issue with your interviewing process, make sure that you add it to your interviewing workshop. I'm assuming that you're teaching your people how to interview properly. So if you see an error in the interviewing process that causes them to always say yes, make sure that you add it to your interviewing workshop, for example, so that they know how they are expected to operate. If you see that you've fought tech debt so much, but you're not seeing any actual fruits, maybe you should change the way that your architecture team decides on what technical debt to fight or reduce your investment in it for the next 6 months. Debug processes, and so you will improve how your company improves. By doing that, you accelerate your speed of change and you're getting an organization that has a bigger bang for the buck. That's it for this episode. As usual, thank you for joining me. I have a newsletter coming out every Thursday with 3 unique insights I'm not sharing anywhere else, and a link to my weekly article. You can subscribe in the link in the show notes. If you have any questions or remarks, my email is in the show notes as well. Thank you. Talk to you soon.